One in five Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, HYPERTHETICAL.
Come get up. See where I live. IGN
Gamescoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Gamescoop.
Sorry, we had to restart. I put the can down, sorry.
Sorry, man.
Don't make me regret this.
Brought to you by Red Bull.
Again.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Gamescoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week, Justin Davis.
Scoop.
Brandon Tyrell.
Scoop.
Brian Altano. We've got a great show for you this day. We're going to talk about Resident Evil. We're going to talk about E3. Mm-hmm. But first, Nintendo has a new console coming out, codenamed the NX. Yeah.
The NX.
Everyone wants to know about it. Everyone wants to know what it is.
What it be?
Everyone is
what
hoping.
It do? Where it at?
A lot of us are hoping it's just like you don't need anything fancy.
Yeah.
Just make a box that can output some nice graphics and give me a regular controller and just let me play some Nintendo games.
Yeah.
I think the real question
is people are hoping.
What is it? It's what isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, this week Nintendo said the most frightening thing possible. The scariest thing Nintendo could have said, they said, NX is a new way of playing games.
Yep. So, we're going to put it right in your ear.
Look, I mean, so I'm cautiously optimistic about this, like I am with all of their stuff.
I will be too.
But it reminds me a lot of, so like I cook a lot at home, and I do, like, I'm very good at, like, very basic recipes that I'll then add like a little sort of twist to because I went to art school and I don't know how to not do that.
Toast.
Yeah.
And then cinnamon toast.
With cumin.
With jalapenos, So, but like, I'll be cooking something and I'll be like, I think I'm going to do like a drizzle of honey on this. And my wife's like, why? And I'm like, because, like, you know, try something different. She's like, just use olive oil and salt and pepper. It'll taste great and everyone will love it. And I'm like, but I want to try something new. And she's
but
like,
it's a
don't
new way.
Just do what always has worked for years. And then
I'm like, eternity for the thousand
eternity.
Years.
And I'm like, you know what? You're right. And it's basically exactly where they are right now, where every single time they're like, we have an idea. Don't. Just don't.
No.
Just like you said, just make call. Here's an idea.
But
use your phone and call every third party you know and be like, here's our console. It's as powerful as the other ones, but it has this guy on it.
Yeah.
Or girl. Doesn't matter.
He's pointing, he's pointing to Link.
To Link.
Linkle.
And just put all that stuff out there. And just give it in one place and make it so I can play all my favorite Mario and Zelda games. And
they're chasing that dragon, though. They sold over 100 million Wii consoles.
I know.
And they need another hit of that business.
But that's never going to happen again.
They were on like the Today Show and in nursing homes and hardcore gamers and softcore gamers. And, oh, man.
They're still in nursing homes, probably.
Yeah.
There's probably people in retirement homes playing Wii bowling right now.
Yeah, all
but
day.
It's like when you see like a famous musician puts out a hit song, and then like 7 years later they're doing VH1 reality shows.
Yeah, and
like,
then they make a sequel to that
and they're
song.
They make a sequel to that song, and they're clawing back to the top. Doesn't work.
There's a sequel to Baby Got Back.
It's like when
really?
Yeah.
Is it an actual sequel, or are you talking about Pumps and a Bump?
Oh,
and a bump.
Well, it's called Put 'Em on the Glass.
Okay.
And I don't know how much more we talk about it right now.
I don't think that's a sequel. Is that part of the same cinematic universe?
It's a spiritual successor.
It's a spiritual successor.
Part of the Baby Got Back cinematic universe.
I was going to say, it's like when Garth Brooks was like, I'm not a country singer anymore. Yeah. I'm alt-rocker Chris Gaines.
I remember that. And he had that emo haircut and everything like that. That was great.
And everyone's like, no, you've written all the, like, these platinum-selling country hits. That's what you do.
How dare you?
The pure I don't even know what to call it. What makes someone think they can get away with something like that?
Well, I mean, Nintendo did once, but...
be fair, they have a couple of times. I mean, the 3DS was a success. The DS is a success. The Wii was,
a smash hit.
I don't know if it... Yeah, for sure. And I don't know if it revolutionized the way we play video games, but it got a lot of people interested for the first time. But... there are just as many weird diagonals they've taken off the regular path that have not turned out well. And like you look at the Wii U, they double down on this idea of instead of having everyone in the room play video games together, that you're going to be in this self-contained box in front of your face. But we all had iPads by then, and we all had we had phones and stuff. So
our first focus group tells us that kids like to look at screens in front of their face. Yeah. So let's do that for a game console.
Yeah, I mean all of that was baffling. It's also like people feel burned by that console. I mean, people spent a couple $100 on something that had a handful of games and then was completely abandoned. And
now they're teetering on the brink, man. They're like Sega. It's like Sega had that Sega Saturn and they had that 32X.
Yeah, it's like, if you're a major video game hardware manufacturer, you're not really allowed too many goofs.
No.
Yeah. You get one goof, and then you have to
bring it back.
The margin for error in that business is real small.
Two goofs and you're out.
Is that it? Is it two goofs?
Yeah. Two goofs and a spoof.
Well, what happened with the Dreamcast, though? Because that was...
Yeah, then they were out.
Oh, I liked the Dreamcast.
Yeah, me
liked
too. No, it was totally good.
I mean, I love a lot of stuff on Wii U. I had a lot of great a lot of great times playing games on that console.
That Smash Brothers.
Yeah, Mario Kart
Pikmin 3. Mario Kart's great.
Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. You know, Wind Waker HD is really cool. We never got a Metroid, an F-Zero, an Animal Crossing. There's so many games in major franchises that just never happened there.
Make F-Zero great again.
But would all of those games had come to, a more traditional console, had Nintendo decided to go that direction?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think, they're very good at what they do when they actually get in there and do it.
Yeah.
You know,
but when they get in their groove.
Yeah, when they get in their groove, everything's going well. And I think it's, the problem is that the console didn't sell enough. It was this weird stopgap between systems in terms of power, which is very difficult to port things to. Like, it was one thing when the Wii was so hard to avoid that you saw stuff like, that Dead Rising on-rail shooter.
Yeah.
Dead Space. But there was also a Dead Rising game that where they're like it had like it was, four zombies on screen,
which
at the
had
time.
Come to Xbox 360 like 3 years earlier.
Yeah. So I mean, you get this stuff where it's like, oh, this thing's so big we can't avoid it. But now there's mobile for stuff like that. I mean, that completely took the wind out of a lot of their sails in terms of that whole blue ocean strategy, and that's where people are playing games. And if they're smart, they'll start putting more and more games on mobile, which it looks like they're doing. But they need parity with the other consoles right now. Even look at the Xbox One. It's neck and neck with the PS4 in terms of power, and it's selling worse than the GameCube did.
No, that's not true. The Xbox One often gets a hard rap because the PS4 is outselling it so much, but the Xbox One's selling faster than the 360 did at this point in its life.
Interesting.
To be clear, there's I think there's twice as many PS4s sold as Xbox Ones, but all other things being equal, the Xbox One's doing okay.
But
your point's taken about them needing to compete on power, and that's what you were driving at. And that's what I was going to say, is Nintendo, is it stupid of them to try to invent a new way to play and sell people on a new way to play? Like, I don't know, maybe, but they kind of don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Like, their box is never, they're never going to lead on power. Nintendo's always going to be behind on power.
But they didn't used to be is the problem.
I mean, kind of, ever since, we got into this on Scoop a few weeks ago, ever since the N64 generation, in a lot of ways, they were kind of behind on power.
Like, you know, they're ahead in power in the NES and Super NES, and it wasn't until
the NGC. Genesis. Well, whatever.
The specs on Super NES specs were.
It also didn't really matter back then.
Yeah. And without blast processing.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at historically some of the best-selling consoles of all time until this generation, really, weren't the most powerful. Right. You know, the PS4 is the most powerful of the three, but last time around it was the Wii. And the time before that, it was the PS2,
yeah,
which was like woefully underpowered compared to the others, but it didn't matter because it had great games. Mm-hmm. So,
and I mean, I like what you said about Nintendo being in a groove, and that's sort of where they do their best, you know, ideation, yeah, creation, or whatnot. And you know, they're very, very clearly on the back foot right now. And coming into a new console with the NX, what worries me the most is that they have their niche audience. They always have. They always have the people who love Nintendo, right? Like yourself included. Now they need to recapture that core audience.
Yeah.
And everything we're hearing about the NX, like, does it, you know, interface with mobile phones? Does it use cartridges? Are they dropping CDs? Is it ROM-based, right? Is it going to have its own online component? It feels like sort of like they missed that core audience so much with the Wii U that now mm-hmm. they're just every single spice on the shelf rack, right? They're like, right, all right, well, we need the core audience. Now we need the online component and, you know, handhelds and mobile phones. And it's all going into this
big thing. That honey.
And I have no idea what this toast is going to look like at the end of it, you know?
And so, you know, you don't need all that stuff on toast. But yeah, it's also, if you look at, like, the last 5 years, that some of the biggest games that have happened have all almost completely, entirely skipped Nintendo.
Yeah.
All those conversations, I mean, they got Minecraft eventually, and that new Mario stuff looks gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, stuff like GTA, Angry Birds,
GTA 5,
yeah, League of Legends, like pretty
Fallout
much everything.
4.
It's
Fallout 4,
it's
everything.
True you don't need all that stuff on toast, but you can't just sell people toast because they already have toast.
Right.
What
are we talking about? Well, so in this analogy, the toast is the PS4 and Xbox One, right, and I don't need a third piece of toast in my entertainment
center. So I know people say that. Except Nintendo was the original toast.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would rather see Nintendo reclaim the toast, force one of the other guys to start doing something different.
That's the difference. Yeah. But back in the day, the toast is what people bought. Now people are buying
this
the butter.
Toast.
People want the butter, and the butter, and people are missing. People are not buying.
What's the butter?
The butter's the software.
Okay.
People are not buying butter for Nintendo's toast. So now Nintendo needs to make a piece of toast that they can sell butter on as well,
yes,
right? They need their Call of Duty butter. They need their GTA butter.
But you also need a really good quality toast, like a nice thick cut of good quality
some
toast.
Some Texas toast, maybe a little seasoning on it?
Yeah, Texas toast is awesome.
It is really good. It's thick.
It's like thick garlic bread. It's a good time to be alive.
I mean, Nintendo has doubled down on their market so much that I feel like they've kind of alienated the core audience, right?
Well, for sure.
Well, they're also not building tomorrow's retro fans, basically.
Yeah.
Right? 100%. Like, in 15 years, Angry Birds is going to be retro to people.
Yeah.
Minecraft is going to be retro to people. Mario is not.
My 10-year-old nephew is not a Zelda or Mario fan.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
But we are.
But he loves Flappy Bird.
And Angry Birds and Minecraft, he loves them. Yeah.
Nintendo, if they play their cards right, I absolutely think they're primed for a turnaround, a sort of a second or third or whatever number renaissance. They could sort of position themselves as a Disney. You know, Nintendo is in a special place where, you know, grown-up gamers care so much about that stuff. Like, Zelda's really important to me, and so is Mario. And so, like, they already, if they do it right, they already have the 30 and 40-year-olds, and they just need to, you know, take, I don't exactly know how they execute on it, but just try to become a Disney, and, like, this is what works for the young kids, and this is what works for the adults, you know, and they have Star Wars and Marvel over here, and then they have Disney princesses, and, you know, all their cartoons over here, and, like, Nintendo could be that, but, like I said, they're walking that, like, razor's edge right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you talk about be a Disney. Do you think superhero movies would have taken off if parents hadn't like sold their kids?
Yeah.
It's like they appeal to both the parents and the kids. Right?
Yeah. I think it's a big part of it.
It's nostalgia. Like
it's cyclical. Yeah.
And they have that ability. I mean, Nintendo.
That's why Star Wars is still a thing.
Yeah. There was a quote a couple days ago about Nintendo getting into movies in the next 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then there's that stuff about the theme parks. And they have. There's a lot of like, you know, what do they call it? Like things in the irons in the fire or whatever.
Yep.
There's a lot of things like that. And I think that like eventually the game console part of it might be just a tiny fraction of
the bigger
picture.
Skillets in the millet.
Yeah. Toast in the toaster.
I was going to say that. I was like, don't derail. Don't derail.
Well, we continue to wait and see what the NX is. Nintendo says it is neither the successor to the Wii U nor to the 3DS,
it won't be at E3, right?
And not going to be at E3. Mm-hmm. Only that guy or gal is going to be at E3.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's Link. It's pointing to Link.
Yeah. Speaking of E3, it's coming up. Hey. Brandon's doing a lot of our E3 planning.
Yeah.
How's that going?
I just want to sleep forever.
you still have like a long ways to go.
I know. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
So we're starting to hear all sorts of crazy rumors about E3.
Like what, Damon?
Like how about a new Resident Evil?
Woo!
Yeah. That may be a Resident Evil 7, or maybe an entirely just sort of reboot of the whole franchise, going back to its roots.
Yeah, the rumor is going back to its proper survival
Resident roots.
The franchise has been coming more and more action-oriented ever since 4, which was good for a while, and then maybe not so good.
Well, 4 was the best, and then it went 5, then 6,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. For sure.
And now, they're looking for that
I mean, survival people really liked it. I never got around to playing it. It's still sort of on my list, but I never... Evil Within was supposed to be pretty good, right?
Yeah,
like that was more Resident Evil style
or one?
Traditional survival horror. Yeah, it's a weird one. It's like part Resident Evil 4, right. And then it just veers in so many different directions. Okay. I finished it. I had a good time with it, even though I still don't know exactly why or what happened during any of it.
There was some evil.
That's just within. Is what you're describing.
It was like third person, sort of over the shoulder.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Caleb Lawson, may his soul rest in peace. Yeah. Was a big fan of that game.
He's totally still alive. He was here yesterday.
The rumors are this new Resident Evil will be announced at E3, returns to series roots. The team is reported to have hired a guy that worked on Metal Gear Solid 5 and PT.
Was it just a guy? Or was it the important guy?
No, well, like, I mean, one of the main
guys. As we're seeing those, Konami refocus on mobile, there's a lot of really talented Japanese game devs, and a lot of them are going to Kojima's new thing, but others are scattering, around to companies like Capcom. And
more evidence. Capcom announced yesterday it is planning to launch a major title by March 2017. Not too surprising for a big publisher.
Yeah.
This year is the 20th anniversary of Resident Evil.
And they had already said, like, prepare for the total blitzkrieg of, Resident Evil this year, right? Like, they released Umbrella Corps. Mm-hmm. Now they have the
Well, you said they released it?
Or
it hasn't come out yet.
No. They released information about it and all that. And then the new Resident Evil's coming out, and I'm sure you're probably going to see some retro stuff. So
yeah,
lots of Resident Evil this year for the
They're porting 6, 5, and 4 backwards, basically. They put out 6, and then they're doing 5, and then they're doing 4.
They have to do it in that order, otherwise no one would care by the time they get to 6.
I think you're totally right.
Except they already did the first, they re-released the first remake,
right. Yeah,
and then they did 0.
Yeah. Zero sold close to 1 million copies. Which
Zero
is
did
like,
well.
Yeah.
What about 2 and 3, though? They're just like,
eh.
I mean, I think 2.
I guess because they never remade any those in high def.
Two and three would be a huge. Huge thing to
because those are PlayStation.
Yeah,
one
I mean three.
Games.
So 3's not very good, and 6 isn't very good. 0 is like so. What the epiphany that I'm having right now is I don't think there's any other like AAA franchise that like only half those games are good.
Well,
2, like, two was great. Code Veronica was great.
Yeah, I like a lot of Code Veronica.
I liked it. It's like a 7 out of 10 good. I don't think it's like a fantastic, incredible video game.
I mean, Remake is awesome.
Remake's
2 is
dope
good.
As hell.
4 is 2 is great.
4 is one of the best games ever.
I actually liked some of 3, but it didn't really feel like a sequel to me.
Nemesis? Nemesis 3. Yeah.
It kind of felt like when you change your name to Link in the original Zelda and play a weird remixed version of the game. Like, it's just a lot of the same assets and stuff like that. But yeah, those games would be way harder to redo. And people have been asking for them for so long that you'd totally have to get that right. That's not something you can just put out in widescreen or whatever.
All I just want is Resident Evil Remake 2, which is pretty much 0, to be fair. But I want the pre-rendered backgrounds like
maybe that's do you think they would go as far to use pre-rendered backgrounds in a
No, and I actually don't
that
know.
Even, is that relevant
as
today?
The words were coming out of my mouth, I'm like, I don't know that I really want the pre-rendered background. I just want that feel back.
Yeah.
Like, it was almost Metroidvania-esque in terms of unlocking parts of a single environment and backtracking, but not in an annoying way, and in a smart way as you sort of uncovered more of this central mystery.
The simultaneous storytelling was always a huge draw for me. Like, you play as Leon first, and then you bump over to Claire, and you're like, oh, that's where I dropped that ladder is Leon. Then you're Ada in the sewers or
just
whatever.
Just the mood. Like, that's what I remember most about that. It's just the atmosphere and atmospheric storytelling, and that was unrivaled.
I want all those characters gone. I don't want to ever. I mean,
you want new characters.
Yeah, they were great. They were wonderful. I never want to hear from any of them again.
What about Albert Wesker? And
for his 80th time, getting killed by a boulder or a helicopter,
he's
or whatever.
A bazooka falling into lava.
I mean, that's right. Top 10 ways Albert Wesker's done.
Yeah.
Get on it.
The cheesy like voice acting and stuff like that. I think it's campy and it's wonderful and I'm glad we had it for so long, but like start something new, you know? Mm. Go, there's so many.
So you don't even want to go back to that same mansion?
No. I mean, you could do a mansion if you want, but like let's get away from like the
Raccoon
weird
City and all that.
Yeah, stuff like that's cool. Like I mean, let's get away from like the Lion Key and putting the cat's eye into the clock no, to open the door.
But Brian, there's something shiny in the corner over there.
Oh, it's just a green herb. It's okay.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at horror games now, and that's why the PT thing, the connection there is really exciting. So you look at a lot of horror games now, they're completely different in the way they're positioned against something like Resident Evil, which is totally like 1960s campy, schlocky kind of. Like I love that stuff at the time, but it doesn't really work anymore. You got to go straight up horror now, so I'm excited for that.
You believe in ghosts in real life?
No, not really.
Me neither.
I think when something dies, that's it.
Yeah. Which, if we think about it, is kind of the sadder of the two options. Yeah.
But I will say I am bold enough to say I don't know.
One third of people believe in ghosts, which seems crazy
to
me.
A third?
Whoa, but don't most people believe in like heaven?
Some sort of afterlife?
I mean, I don't know. Do we really? So how much of this do we want to get into?
I'm just saying, if that's a fact, is it really surprising that people believe in ghosts?
Yeah. I just couldn't I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe they're a real thing, and it just blew me away that I'm like, wait, that many people think that that's a real thing that exists on this earth?
Well, heaven's kind of like a party of ghosts.
It's
right?
A ghost party.
Right?
Ghost party.
It's a ghost party, basically. When Lincoln's there and Jimi Hendrix and you can eat whatever you want and not get fat.
This nation's major religion is based around the idea of a ghost.
No, not ghosts.
The Holy Ghost.
It's a zombie.
Yeah, but that's that's an expression.
The Father and Son, the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Kind of depends on which aspect you're coming from, right?
Viewers, listeners, do you believe in ghosts? Do you have any ghost stories? Email them to us at GameScoop.
Send us your ghosts.
At IGN. No. Don't send us your ghosts.
You open the pack.
Don't need your ghosts.
Did it come out? I don't know.
All right, well, speaking of E3 and E3 rumors, I wonder if we have our own E3 predictions that may be just crazy enough to, what would be your craziest E3 prediction that you would love to see happen that you would know would never happen? My image just popped up there.
Well,
I'll go first. Here's my E3 prediction. Capcom, unsatisfied with the way Street Fighter V sold, will relaunch the game and reskin the whole thing as a new Rival Schools, calling it Fival Schools, bringing the series back, and as a bonus, it's going to include Fival from An American Tale, a playable character.
And it's going to go west.
It will come west. You heard it here first.
That's great.
I can't beat that.
I'm just saying, you were given homework.
Yeah.
Brandon did his homework. Brandon, do you want to go?
I also didn't do my homework in school. No, my prediction is an Apple game console.
An Apple game console.
Very sleek and sexy, something that you'd like to look at aesthetically on your just in your entertainment center. I don't even think it plays physical discs. I think it's digital only. Just give me a box that's got a big hard drive and a controller.
You're describing an Apple TV right now.
When would they release this at E3 during like the PS4 conference?
This is what I wanted to unpack this. When is this being announced?
Oh, so you have a problem with that and not FIFA appearing in a relaunched Resident Evil 5 or Street Fighter 5?
Yeah. Fival goes west.
No, I think all you really need is just a controller, that feels great, a range of high-end AAA games and, you know, smaller, tiny, you know, $1, $2, $3 games.
From Apple.
Yeah, from Apple. Why not?
I mean, that's actually fairly likely. Mm. I mean, it's plausible, I'll say that, yeah.
On the plausibility scale, we're not at a 1 out of 10.
No, not like
that. One Chewbacca Roy's out of 10.
Fival Schools.
I really like
Fival
that.
Fival Schools.
My prediction is that since Nintendo only has Zelda at E3, something will leak and it'll be a realistic Mario game starring a real man.
Gritty reboot.
With just a disgusting mustache, and he goes around and he eats garbage and he fights living monster creatures.
He's just stomping on turtles and it's horrible.
It's horrible and real and gross, and Troy Baker does the voice.
Yeah.
Most of the characters.
No, I like it. It's Harry Crane from Mad Men. It's the guy from Firewatch.
Ooh, that's really good.
Firewatch 2.
I like that a lot.
Firewatch 2. 2 is Mario Galaxy 3.
And he's walking around and he's like, these disgusting turtles.
I hate mushrooms.
So a realistic, gritty reboot
of
Mario Brothers. What's the name? Is it just Super Mario Brothers again?
Super real Mario Brothers.
He's fighting the dinosaur at the end. You're like, what are you, it's a biological miracle. What are you doing?
Yeah, Bowser's just like, just beating the Peach has all these tattoos. She's addicted to drugs.
Addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
Addicted to mushrooms.
Is she a real princess? Is she like Swedish or something?
No, she just has a t-shirt with a crown on it.
I like that's where the princesses come from.
I'm trying to think of where I know the real princesses exist, and I think it's Sweden is one of the places. So,
the Netherlands is a lot of
well, those. My mind went to Sweden.
Okay.
Because of Kingsman the Secret Service. That's why.
Scandinavian. Yeah. I mean, the easy one, Half-Life 3. Mm-hmm. So there you go, mic drop.
Yeah, that one's not going to happen.
No, you know why it's not going to happen? Because
the game doesn't exist.
No, because somebody was telling me yesterday about how much money Valve is making a day just selling like lottery tickets in their games
now.
Oh,
yeah. The like, Battle Pass or something.
Battle Pass.
Is like that League or is that Dota?
It's Dota.
They're making like $20 million a day.
And
they're
a
like, why would you ever make another video game again? Just do that. You're good.
Yeah. No, my real one, Justin kind of took it with the console idea, but my real one was, what does a publisher do when they basically eclipsed everything else, right? You have Activision Blizzard. They make more money than they know what to do with. They're opening up a movie studio. We're going to see the Angry Birds movie is already
I think it already went, actually.
Was it Angry Birds?
What are you talking about?
What's the cinematic universe that they're
Activision's
opening?
making Call of Duty,
and then they're doing another one.
Warcraft.
There is that Warcraft movie coming out.
That's not from the same
I don't know.
Studio, though. Anyway, they're opening up a movie division. They're doing all this other stuff and diversifying. I mean,
New Horizons.
It would make sense to, wouldn't make sense at all, but getting into the console game.
An Activision console.
Mm-hmm. Activision Blizzard console. Like, Diablo Reaper of Souls is the first time Blizzard went into the console. Now they're coming out with Overwatch, so Blizzard's dabbling into console. Activision's got a ton of money to burn. It would make sense to make one and then have this massive first party with all these amazing exclusives from Activision and Blizzard.
It would never happen, but I wonder if there's one company that, like, their games are so, like, they just said, look, we're making a console. If there's any game or franchise that the only way to play this is by buying our box. Like Call of Duty. Like, Call of Duty doesn't come to the PS4 or Xbox One anymore. There's just a box that you have to buy. Like, how many of those would they sell?
They have Call of Duty. They also have Diablo.
Yeah. The only way to play Destiny, Call of Duty, and Skylanders and World of Warcraft and Diablo is on this specific box.
There was a rumor for a while, a couple years ago, that there'd be an EA console. And I remember being like, that's insane. But I think back then it probably would have made a little bit of sense.
Yeah.
No, it still would have been
insane. Yeah, I mean, EA's got the annualized portfolio, right, with Madden and FIFA and NHL and golf.
That's true. All EA Sports is another example of a label that can maybe pull it off.
The problem is like, consoles are the loss leader, right? Like, the software is what sells, and like that's where you make your money back. And there's no reason why a publisher who has diversified across PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo, PC, what have you, there's no reason that they would make a console and then just like put up a walled garden. Like, you're just cutting off this big stream of money that's just going into your big sack.
Nintendo actually sells their hardware at a profit, which is pretty rare. But they don't sell.
I think that might be happening with all the consoles this generation. But either way, you make the bulk of your money off of software.
Yeah, and peripherals.
That's why I just don't ever see a third-party publisher getting into the hardware game.
No. What would the name of the Activision console be?
So I actually, A Station. That's not bad. The BlizzBox.
Maybe
BlizzBox.
Maybe.
BlizzBox. I like that.
The Ice Cube. Huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And your rep is Ice Cube.
Sure.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been in an Are We There Yet in a while.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
He's probably looking for...
He needs another one of those films.
Probably looking for something.
The Ice Cube cinematic universe.
I'll work on this, but...
I'll work on it.
Send us your names of an Activision Blizzard console.
Please don't.
Yeah, and your ghosts.
To Justin.
Not your ghosts.
We're going to get a lot of empty boxes and be like, oh, God, was there a ghost in there? We don't know, because you can't see them.
I think I can definitively say the answer is no.
All right, looking a little past E3, we now have confirmation that Batman, the Return to Arkham collection, is real. Real thing, combining Arkham Asylum and Arkham City into one package.
Poor Arkham Knight.
Origins
is what I was thinking of.
I think that's cool. Like we said before, I'm looking forward to playing Asylum again. Mm-hmm. But I want to share a little anecdote with everyone. Every time my PlayStation 4 is full.
Yeah, me too.
I have no more space. Every time I want to play a new game, I have to like delete stuff every single time. So like when I want to load up Uncharted 4, I have to go through it. All right, what can I delete? And always the biggest file on my PS4 at the very top every single time is Arkham Knight. And I have this internal struggle, like, I haven't finished it yet. Do I delete it? Am I ever going to finish
it? It's given up. If you hit the delete button, you're given up.
Am I ever going to finish it?
No,
I want to. I think I will, but will I ever?
You're not going to go back for those Riddler trophies, are you?
I would free up a lot of space. If I would just get rid of Arkham Knight, I could
feel the
a
same
lot of
way.
Space.
My hard drives are full of games that, in my heart, I know that I'm done with them, but my brain's not caught up to what my heart feels yet. Like, I have Metal Gear Solid taking up a bunch of gigabytes. I have Arkham Knight.
Yeah.
It's just full of them. I'm in the exact same boat as you.
You know that show Hoarders?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
You can do that digitally.
Yeah.
Like, that's a thing a lot of people don't really realize. Like, I actually feel really, I do like a spring cleaning in my apartment every couple months. Which is
every couple months.
I guess it's spring
time
every
time
of year.
Fall spring cleaning.
My fourth spring of the year. And I do that on my computer, and I do it on my game consoles and everything too. Just sort of like pare down my digital libraries. You're an adult. You're a married man. You have a good job.
Adult is in quotes.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have a duck on your T-shirt, which I love. I don't think you're gonna go. You're never gonna go back and start, you know, doing all those weird car winch puzzles in that game. Yeah. Like, play something else. I don't think you're gonna finish it.
One idea I had was maybe I should prioritize my playlist by the biggest file. So maybe I should actually just play Arkham Knight first.
Oh, interesting.
That's very pragmatic.
Then I can delete that, and then go to the next one, which is probably Witcher 3.
I think also you've earned. If you've played enough of this game that you've earned the ability to watch the ending on YouTube. And usually I say people shouldn't do stuff like that, but just do it. And then
I liked the game. I actually liked the game and was having fun with it. But I can also only play it at certain times. It's not a game I want to play on like a Saturday afternoon.
No.
When it's like bright and shiny outside. It has to be like dark.
Yeah, you know, gloomy.
Yeah, for me to play Batman.
We have a very specific problem here in California. Where there are so many times I want to play a game like that.
But it's a beautiful day.
And it's a beautiful day. Or just any game.
Yeah.
Like, I actually kind of miss being in New York because it was just miserable for 6 months a year, and I played so many video games.
Yeah.
And now I can't because I'm like, it's too nice out. I have to go outside.
I love the thought of, like, you wintering in Michigan just so you can play video games for, like, 6 months out of the year.
Or, like, I put up curtains in the apartment to make it look like it's raining. Oh, it's horrible out there, honey. We should stay in and play games.
Just one of those from the 90s, the old noise with the rain.
Like, rain sound effects on a CD player.
Still coming down 4 weeks in a row.
Your wife's over there with just like a thunder screen, just like waving.
It's like,
that
it's like the way Kevin McAllister tricked the bandits in Home Alone. There's a party here. It's a cardboard Michael Jordan on a train.
All right, moving on. Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Hi, listeners.
Listeners, remember you can always reach us at the email address gamescoop@ign.com, just like Big Tony style.
Big Tony style.
Big Tony Style writes in, the Tetris movie
just
received a green light to begin production with an $80 million budget.
That is $79 million too many.
He also, we should point out, it's meant to be the first in a trilogy.
Sure. Yeah.
Of course.
Do you guys have any expectation of how this movie will turn out? So many people are typically against turning gaming properties into movies.
Let me get my crystal ball.
So my original idea for this topic of discussion would be we would all try to come up with a game that would be even crazier to turn into a movie than Tetris. But after thinking about it for a while, I could not come up with a game that's crazier than Tetris. As Justin points out, a game with no characters and no story.
Yeah.
The only one that comes to mind is Pong. But even then, there's conflict, right?
Yeah. Even going then, back you're like, forth. I think it's two people playing ping pong.
It's a battle of good and evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. But they're both white, so how do you like?
Or it's a relationship saga, you know, and they're fighting over a girl.
Yeah,
there you go.
But Tetris,
no, there's I mean, worse than Tetris would be like Columns or Dr. Robotnik's Beam Machine.
Plaques.
I said kicks.
Oh, that's
kicks. Even Dr. Mario.
You make boxes.
Dr. Mario would make more sense.
Yeah.
More sense. Oh, it would make tons of sense. No, you can use my real life Mario. Sense.
I feel like Dr. Mario would be like a daytime TV, like telenovela sort of. Yeah. Like real, real dramatic thing.
Sorry, you have cancer.
I'd be like
throwing colored pills in him.
What's that movie? Is it Inner Space where they go inside that man's body?
Randy Quaid and what's the
Martin Short?
Yeah,
Martin yeah,
Short. Nice.
So Dr. Mario would be like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, except a little monster.
Tetris.
So they say it's supposed to be a sci-fi thriller.
Yeah,
which. I don't know, because we've seen like Pixels, right? And before the show,
no, we haven't seen Pixels.
Well, we haven't seen. We've seen Pixels come out where
it's gonna be like Pixels.
Where it's gonna be like, I guess they were. I haven't seen it. It's like an alien invasion or something, but
the aliens, yeah, the aliens find some sort of like, they're like reading information from the 80s when they attack now, and they're like they misinterpret video game aliens as what we really are, so they like turn themselves into that when they
to like infiltrate kind of thing.
That's what they do.
Real bad.
Yeah,
I haven't even seen the movie.
But we were talking about like Battleship, and Battleship, their crutch was an alien invasion, and Pixels, it's an alien invasion. I feel like Tetris is going to be a sci-fi thriller about block-shaped aliens attacking Earth.
Is it going to end if like the heroes win when they figure out if you just line them all up in a row, they disappear? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I just like imagine like there's like
it'll never end. It's a
there's
trilogy.
Like a, there's a widow standing there in the street, and she's screaming and crying because like the L shape like killed her husband. Yeah. It fell from the sky and crushed her town.
It wouldn't be the L shape. It would be one of those shitty Z shapes. That's all right. The L shapes are all right.
Nobody likes the Z shapes.
No.
I imagine like one of the big blocks like twirling down the street and someone's like, and it's coming. And then it lines up perfectly where the hole is above it. He's like, oh, thank God. And then the tall one just lands on him.
I can't, I mean, for them to have even said that this is something that they're going to do, that means somebody somewhere wrote a sentence that sold them on this thing.
Somewhere.
And I cannot, in my wildest imaginations, form that sentence.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, there's a lot of weird partnerships going on behind this one. It's co-funded between an American production company and a Chinese production company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's supposed
and I know
to be,
that. Well, I think China's if it's not the world's like largest box office, it's about to become.
And that's.
But I don't know how popular Tetris is in China.
Well, I think it's just one of those brand names that's just like worldwide. Mario.
Yeah, Tetris is the best-selling video game of all time by a large margin.
By a large margin.
Do you guys ever have those Tetris crackers?
What?
No.
They made these snacks in the 80s. It was like Cheez-Its, but Tetris, and there were shapes. And it was like, oh, well, that totally missed the point. Yeah.
But also, that just means you got less cracker than if they would have just given you a square.
Yeah, it made no sense. True. And so you'd get them, and you'd like try to fit them together, and you'd be like, oh, great, I just put my food all over this table.
No, that's not fair. Technically, with an animal cracker, you get less cracker, but I'm glad it's in an animal shape.
Sure. That's true.
It's more fun.
True.
Yeah. Tastes better that way.
But you guys are assuming
limbs first.
Oh yeah,
I always did.
You're assuming that they took a square and they chiseled it away and turned it into a lion, and they just took the other seven and threw it away. Get that non-lion cracker out.
The rest of this mess out of here.
They should make an animal cracker that bleeds.
Oh wow!
When you bite into it,
it's like just, gushers.
Yeah, like gushers. Yeah. It's just full of like grape jelly.
Would eat.
It's horrific. You're biting the heads off of all.
PETA would love that.
This movie might finally be my excuse to do our feature ranking the Tetris blocks.
That's really good.
Finally, I can explain
aren't
to the
there
world.
Like seven. You shouldn't say these things out loud because I think it's actually a really good idea.
Yeah, people are going to tweet at you to be like, "We're every single day for the rest of your life."
I mean, but
or
the
they're going to steal it,
or someone's just going to do it.
But the rankings are obvious. It's like line, square.
Line is number one.
L L Z S, right? Oh, but there's that crappy.
Which L?
There's the crappy. I don't even know what you want to call it. The one with three and then one.
Do you want to?
Yeah, well, it's like a T.
Do you want to do this on Up at Noon tomorrow?
No.
Come on. I'll put you onto the set. You rank the top seven Tetris blocks.
All right. Finally, time to answer this question.
Tetris 2 has bombs.
Big time. We do have a couple video game movies coming out this year.
Yeah.
Warcraft.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Assassin's Creed.
Ooh.
Who knows how that will turn out? I don't know. You liked the trailer for Assassin's Creed.
I was really into it until that announcement that it's 65% in the present day. Like, why did they tell us that?
Oh, yeah. He's like,
don't tell us
70-30, and he's in that dumb
Animus.
Don't tell me what a percentage of a movie is before I see it.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, it's the Animus.
Oh, they call it the Animus, yeah.
I mean, they do in the games. I don't know what it is in the movie.
Yeah. No, I think they call it the Animus in the movie, but it's stylized differently. It's got this big robotic arm that.
Yeah, it's real different.
Yeah, because watching a man sleep like in bed is boring.
Well, Michael Fassbender is on set. He's just sort of passed out in the pod.
See,
he's
acting, like,
easiest movie I've ever
is
done.
He asleep?
He's in character.
Yeah, I don't know. Video game movies, generally, I think it's a bad idea. I like, if you ask me,
What was the best one?
Damon, we're going to make one of two movies, either a movie based on a video game or something new. Mm-hmm. I'm always going to say, make the new thing.
Something new.
What about
make,
Godzilla?
Make the new thing. It's not based on a video game.
But it's not. But if, but
Damon,
not
we're going to make a movie based on a video game or another Godzilla movie. Make the Godzilla movie.
I like the scenario in which they're like, oh, we got to make a decision on this.
Someone get Damon on the
They call me into the boardroom.
Yeah.
They've been up all night.
Yep.
Damon help.
All right, it's time on GameScoop when we play Video Game 20 Questions. Mm. This week's suggestion comes from Milo.
Tetris.
It is not Tetris. Have you played this on the show before?
Yeah, twice. I think actually I've played three times. I'm two for three.
Two for three.
Not bad.
Do you play as a human?
Yes. I think so. There may be a choice, but I think...
It's a gray area. Okay.
I think it's just
the worst.
What were the standard ones that we always get out of
the standard ones
first?
Are always like, before, did it come out before 2000?
That's usually the first one.
Yeah.
Before I mucked it up.
Did it come out before 2000?
No.
Cool.
So it's after 2000. You maybe play as a human.
Black and white.
Is it a console game?
Yes.
Okay.
Does your character... Do you hold objects in your hands?
Yes.
It's just such weird questions.
Do you have a mustache?
Are there shoes?
Okay, so your character holds objects.
What game don't you?
I don't know. All kinds of games.
Connectimals.
Give me an example of a game where you play a human, but you don't hold anything in your hands.
Mario?
He holds stuff.
No, he doesn't.
He holds fire.
A hammer. He holds a hammer.
Okay. Touche.
And vegetables and
flour. No, he doesn't hold them.
He picks up blocks.
He picks up bombs.
He holds the turtles over his head.
Yes, so I'm not going to let this stuff fly.
Hundreds of things.
He does not pick up blocks.
Yes, he does.
When?
You can pick up ice blocks.
Too.
That didn't come out after 2000.
Oh,
what are you talking about?
But he did. It did happen.
You can pick up ice blocks in the Mario games. Ooh. You can also pick up other characters.
Turtles.
That are playing with you.
That's true.
Who can pick up you.
That's true.
I'm still waiting for a game where you play as a human, but you don't hold anything in your hand.
Like a gun?
I feel like this is a more important question, yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, is it...
It might not have been great.
So we hold, you're human that you hold
know,
stuff in your
it
hands
comes
after
out
2000.
After 2000,
yeah.
You're probably human, and you hold things in your hands.
Are there legs?
just on this earth? We know it's a console game. We should narrow down, though.
Yeah, is it a PlayStation game?
Like,
exclusively, or did it come to a PlayStation?
Oh wait, no.
Console?
Do we already? Yeah. We know it's a console game.
Because if it's multi-platform, it's kind of thrown away. Of course.
Do we know it's a multi-platform?
No. We do not.
Is it multi-platform?
Yes.
Damn it.
Five questions.
Did it come out for the current console generation?
No.
Should we narrow down to the seventh or the seventh generation?
Was that PS3, Xbox? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that was 2005, but there was another generation before that, right?
I mean, whichever. Yeah, we should narrow down the generation.
Did it come out the seventh generation, 360, PS2?
PS3.
PS3?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. No, go ahead.
Do we get genre at all?
We did not yet.
We have not.
But you can hold
hand, things. Holding stuff in your hands, genre.
Yeah.
It's a hand-holding genre.
Do we know perspective?
You don't hold things in Super Meat Boy.
You're not a human.
You're not a human. You're a Meat Boy. Well, it has the word boy.
But you said there was another option, right? Not just human. More than human.
We're talking about a game where you play as a human, but you don't hold anything in your hands.
Is it first person?
No.
Okay. So it's a third person man sort of game where you
play
stuff in your
hands. Yeah, but it might be. Is it 2D?
No.
Okay, so 3D where you play as a human and you can hold things in your hands.
In the third person.
In the third person.
On the PS3 360 generation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Also Wii.
We probably don't need to bring up the hand-holding thing anymore in our recaps.
Really? I was thinking doing it each time.
Hey, top 10 best things to hold in your hands.
Another hand.
Number one
is a good one.
Ooh.
Another one's another hand, yeah. So we don't have a genre yet, right? But it is third person, so action.
It's pretty safe to say it's either an action game or a platform.
Do you hold a gun in your hands?
No.
Oh.
Question number 10 is no.
Okay.
Is it a platforming game?
No.
Man can't jump.
White he might be able to jump. Were you on the game? Were you on Scoop where he asked about jumping, and then it really tripped Damon up because it was Zelda?
Oh, that was
really good.
Because you can kind of
can jump, but there's no jump button.
Yeah.
In 3D Zeldas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's fascinating.
Yeah, it was really good.
How many questions are we in? 10?
You've done 11.
Damn it.
So we know it's a third-person game for the PS3 360 generation where you don't hold a gun. You don't shoot anything.
But you do hold things in your hands.
Starring a human-esque character?
So it could be like Metal Gear Rising or something like that?
Dark Souls.
Could be Dark Souls. So, okay, yeah. So do you hold...
I think you play as a human in Dark Souls.
Yeah, but you're also a hollow, so it's kind of a gray area. Mm.
Do you hold like a sword or slicing weapon in your hand?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Who are the silly billies now?
We burned three questions to figure out you can hold a sword.
So an elf
that totally narrows it way down.
An elf is human-ish.
What are you talking about?
I'm trying to figure out what kind of. It's a third-person game. There's no jumping.
Okay.
We don't know. There's no jumping. You said it's not a platforming game. When you jump to there's no jumping.
Is it a cooperative game?
Ooh.
No.
Okay. So that's not,
I do like I like narrowing Gauntlet it Legends. Down between I like narrowing it down between like RPG or action because that narrows it down between like I do think it's like Metal Gear Rising or Dark Souls or something along those lines.
Okay.
Do you want to narrow it down? I mean, we're at 13.
Mm-hmm.
How would characterize Dark Souls as an RPG, right?
I would characterize it as an RPG, but also an action game. I would characterize it as an action RPG.
So yeah. how do we narrow it down further? There's no stats in Metal Gear Rising.
Is it rated M?
I haven't played Metal Gear Rising.
I don't know.
So it's not Dark Souls because he would have said yes immediately.
Damn it. Technicality.
So there you guys go with that.
Nailed it.
You're welcome. Silly billies.
Well done.
I should have looked up the rating of the game.
What are more games where you sword things?
Where you sword things in a third person using your hands.
That are multi-platform.
Multi-platform on 360 or PS3.
Is this game part of a series or franchise?
No.
Okay, so it's not Dante's Inferno. It's not...
Yeah, not Metal Gear.
Not Metal Gear. It's a one-off.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a one-off that came to multi-platforms where you use a sword and then it never showed up again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
You don't play as a human and it got a sequel.
Oh, right.
Darksiders, yeah. Should we talk about aesthetic? Like,
yeah, that would help.
Or developer.
Is it a fantasy, right? Is it a fantasy game?
Yes.
Ooh, okay. That's good. That was really good.
It's not a Lord of the Rings game, that's for sure.
15. Five questions to go.
Man.
Okay. Third person, you can use a choppy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
No guns.
Force Awakens? Is this a licensed game?
Nope.
Not Force Awakens, Force Unleashed.
No, it's part of a
franchise. But it's part of a series, yeah.
So it's not a licensed game. That might have been a burned question, sorry, since we know it's a fantasy game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what was, Kingdoms of Amalur?
That's good.
Not a sequel, fantasy game.
You play as a human, there are other races that you can play as.
That was Kurt Schilling, right?
That was Kurt Schilling and 38 Studios.
Did Kurt Schilling did he muck this game up?
Yes. Was this game made by a baseball player?
Wow, I didn't think you were going to get Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning.
Wow.
I mean, I played the hell out of the game. I don't think I would have gotten it.
Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning, developed by 38 Studios. So you asked if it was like part of the series, and it was planned to be.
Yeah, they were going to have an MMO.
A whole world, yeah. But and then
you're right in that I don't remember the rating on that game either.
I would guess teen, but yeah. I think it was teen.
I don't remember any gore or blood or anything.
God, that was a good one, man.
We did it.
It was nice.
Published by EA.
Yep.
PS3, 360, and PC.
And PC. Who sent that question in?
Milo.
Nice job, Milo.
Good work, Milo.
2012.
You almost had us.
Single-player action RPG.
Yeah.
Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning.
So long ago.
I'm still trying to think of a game where you don't hold stuff.
Yeah, I want to know.
Yeah.
Maybe a game where it's all like magic based.
Karate.
Casting spells.
Karate Champ.
Yep.
Yeah.
But even that.
Karate Champ for the NES.
Yeah, like a fighting game.
You're right. It's just karate in that game. No weapons.
What if you do like a headlock? You hold a guy.
Yeah. Super punch out. You're holding some fists, but that's
you're wearing gloves.
Yeah, we're not holding.
You hold up the belt.
If you're wearing gloves, you hold the belt.
You're holding the title.
Yeah, hold up the title.
Yeah,
okay. That's technically holding.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Remind us all what happened with 38 Studios and Rhode Island and why that studio went under.
I think, okay, I might be wrong, so feel free to correct, but I think Rhode Island bought into 38 Studios.
Yeah, like, and then they were
subsidized
like,
the development.
Yeah, they had a grant. It was, they paid them a bunch of money, mm-hmm. and then 38 missed all their milestones.
And defaulted and, on the loan.
But that'll happen before the game even came out, right?
Yeah.
Like the I think it was like right,
well, like the game came out and didn't sell what they needed it to, yeah. and that was like the final nail in. Like if the game sold like 8 million copies or whatever, they probably would have been okay.
Yeah. So it wasn't like EA's like picked up the game and published it after the fact.
I just remember. It's fuzzy to me too. My memory.
It's only 4 years ago.
Like the game, really? The game came out and it was great. And it's just weird to say, well, we made a great game and still get shut down and sued.
Yeah, it's an amazing game, but it didn't sell. And I don't think.
The impression I got is that it was a little bit mismanaged, and they just had a team of hundreds and hundreds working on it, and the budget ballooned to a level where it almost didn't matter what it sold. It was just never going to be able to recoup.
I mean, they had the that's this prolific fantasy author. It was.
And they hired all that money from. They had the author and the artist.
Yeah.
Todd McFarlane?
Yeah, Todd McFarlane brought on to consult on art, and I think R.A. Salvatore.
R.A. Salvatore.
R.L. Stein.
R.L. Stein.
It was R.L. Stein.
Yeah. The top 10 spooks in Spookville.
The box said, this game will give you goosebumps.
I was going to say that. Stole it.
All right, that's all the scoops we have for this week. If you're just one of our podcast listeners, you should come by the new YouTube channel sometime and just check out what we're making over there. Because in addition to the podcast, the full podcast each week, we've been doing Let's Play videos. Let us play videos of recent games like Super Hot or In the Blind Forest and fun stuff like that.
Where can people find that YouTube channel?
YouTube.com/GameScoop.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
See you there. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you, Brian. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop, and we're out.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken, or did I turn to the spirit patterns?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal, 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself. inevitable. Of course. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.